visit radiosurvivor.com/support. Well, my name is Eric Klein. On behalf of Matthew Lassar, Jennifer Waits, and Paul Rees-Mendel, thank you so much for listening to Radio Survivor.
Station on the ground reporting. News, odds, and hopping. Yeah! Here I am, your main man, reporting from Jam Jam. On 16,000 kilocycles FM, and 1,000 megahertz on the ground.
The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Tune in on St. Patrick's Day. Tony Fallon will be live with the Irish show from Accra at 8 p.m. on the radio. St. Patrick's Day night, 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Tune in, Tony Fallon and the Irish show.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Claire in Accra, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to another edition of Music from Recent Centuries. This is a classical, alternating between classical and fiddle radio show, and today is a classical show. And on the show today, I have a special guest, Rafi Karpowitz.
Hello.
Hello, Rafi. So, you play music, right?
Yes, I do.
At Bard, you play the piano, I believe, yes?
Mm-hmm. I do. I play the piano. I also enjoy composing. Yes.
What we are listening to right now is a nice Handel piece, and we will let this play on. ¶¶ I said before, was a nice Handel piece and Handel's water music. And before we go any farther, I want to introduce our theme for the show. So what we are focusing on this show is 18th century composers, and in more detail, Rafi?
We're focusing on 18th century composers as well as the theme of mentor and student relationships. So those composers who inspired others and those who really were teachers and helpful to other younger composers.
So our first composer will be Handel. So we started with Handel to introduce the show, and that was his water music. And he's the oldest composer we're going to be focusing on in this show, so we decided to go in chronological order. And our next piece, we'll play it and then discuss it a little bit after we play it. But what is it, Rafi?
It is Judah Maccabeus, the overture.
Nice. Okay, so, Judas Maccabeus Overture. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was Handel's Judas Maccabeus Overture. And Handel, as following the mentor-student relationship, or just the mentor in this case with Handel, he was a musical giant of the time. He didn't directly teach any of the other composers who we're going to go into detail about, but he inspired them greatly, and we found some quotes about that reinforce this. So.
Yes, he was a very prominent figure, Handel was. And Mozart is reputed to have said, "Handel understands the effect better than any of us of music. When he chooses, he strikes like a thunderbolt." And so Mozart was admired Handel very much, and as well as Beethoven, he did as well. So he said, "Handel is the master of us all, the greatest composer that ever lived. I would uncover my head and kneel before his tomb."
But so that reinforces the fact of Handel's kind of influence over many composers of the time. But this particular piece we also researched, and I'll let Rafi talk about this one, but it has to do with the Jews and the new leader, who was Judas Maccabeus, who took over from his brother.
Yeah, so this discusses how the Jews, they were trying to be forced by the Seleucid Empire to worship Zeus and other gods that had idols, representations of gods, which is Jews really don't...
It's against their,
they don't,
against their ideology.
Yeah, they don't
that.
Believe that God should be worshipped as a figure. But so this outlines how Judas kind of led the Jews in revolt or almost against the Seleucid Empire. And it outlines his victory against them.
That's kind of those three sections we saw kind of outlined the whole story. So the first one kind of was the people's mourning for the loss of Judas's brother, who was their leader at the time, and then Judas coming to power. So that was that kind of not happy but more dramatic moment at the end. And then the second movement or part that we heard was his like his gallantry and him leading the Jews in the revolt. And then the third part, which was very kind of happy, not happy, but triumphant more like, was the victory that he won from the Seleucid Empire. He defeated them.
Definitely.
And also just another thing that I'll toss in is Handel has a very nice use of the harpsichord. I typically do not like the harpsichord, but Handel uses it and it really grounds his piece. It is a nice backing.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
Yeah.
So
our next piece is?
It's going to be a Mozart piece. Mozart was very influenced by Handel, as you've heard already, and this is going to be his sonata for piano in A major.
So, yeah, his sonata for piano in A major, and Mozart also, yes, was influenced greatly by Handel, but we'll talk about that more after this piece.
Thank you.
Mozart's 11th piano sonata. And before we go farther, we want it to not seem like we're drawing parallels between Handel and this Mozart piece directly, but Handel mm-hmm. is such a large figure in this time period yeah. that we wanted to start with him since he's so prominent and mm-hmm. has so much influence.
Yeah.
So this piece, yes, as Miles said, it was Mozart's 11th piano sonata in A major, and this piece is really theme and variations, as you could tell. It starts off with one theme, and then it kind of expands upon that, and that is an idea that Beethoven really took and ran with, because he was very inspired by Mozart. Mozart was one of the main figures in Beethoven's life, who he really looked up to. Mozart and Haydn were really Beethoven's people who he got his inspiration from. And so this piece illustrates the theme and variation that Mozart uses and that he passed on to Beethoven. And it also shows like the sonata structure almost, because Mozart loved the structure and he wanted to be very structured piece. And as we'll see, Beethoven is not conformed as much to these rigid...
Well, yeah, you can really see that structure, though. You see the climax mm-hmm. towards the middle. The middle is a little, not floaty, I'd yeah. say, but it's a little more mm-hmm. kind of calm. And then the middle mm-hmm. peaks, and it's very, not technical, but it's definitely, it's very
yeah. Riddled yeah, it grows
with the music.
It,
and it grows, yeah. and then it kind of tones back down to mm-hmm. the beginning after the climax. So, yeah, yep. so as this piece, we segued into Beethoven.
Yep.
And as most people know, Beethoven can be mm-hmm. a bit of a erratic composer, and yeah. he'd put in all his emotions into his
piece.
Yeah,
he really poured them in, which was, I mean, we'll discuss this later, but it was a really new thing for the time. So,
yeah. So this piece is probably one of his most famous
yeah,
works.
Yeah, definitely.
So Beethoven's Fifth is what we yes. are hearing next.
Thank you.
Well, that was Beethoven's most famous work, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Yes, it was. And it again shows the theme of the theme and variation throughout the music of Beethoven and Mozart.
That kind of iconic Beethoven, not riff, but Beethoven kind of segment.
Motif,
yeah. That is, that kind of is a trademark of his work there. And
Definitely.
So this was kind of an influence. Mozart, of the theme and variations, as we saw in the first piece, was kind of repeated into this piece.
Yeah.
But we're really talking about Beethoven's student relationship to Haydn.
Yeah, and Beethoven in general, because he is where we're focusing on, because all of these composers really came down to Beethoven, and he kind of will play a piece by him in a few minutes that kind of really revolutionized music. But he was being inspired by all the people we've played, Handel, Mozart. And now we're going to play a piece by Haydn, who was directly in communication and directly teaching Beethoven. And so we'll talk about that a bit later. But this is Haydn's 100th symphony.
Just think, 100 symphonies.
I know,
that's
it's
not
crazy.
All he's,
that's, I mean,
that's
he's written even
got.
More. It's crazy. 100 symphonies. But yeah, so this is the second movement.
Thank you. Okay, well, that was Haydn's military, nicknamed military symphony, but actually a symphony number 100.
Yes. So this piece is very standard in its form and in its way of not conveying too much emotion. It's kind of reserved in the standard that was common in the classical era, such as Mozart, as we've listened to before. And this piece, they don't really look deep into themselves and bring out all of that emotion. And the piece we're going to be hearing next really does that.
That's kind of Beethoven's trademark. That's kind of his claim, not his claim to fame, but kind of his claim to fame. I mean,
he really revolutionized music from then on.
He changed that. But before we go into that, I mean, Haydn and Mozart were contemporaries of each other, but the interesting part is Haydn was actually a direct teacher of Beethoven, which we can go
He had a very interesting relationship with Beethoven. They were teachers when Beethoven was about 22. Beethoven was a student when he was 22, and so they worked together on counterpoint and music theory and composition, and Haydn taught Beethoven a lot, but they had kind of an off-and-on relationship. Sometimes they really enjoyed spending time with each other, and sometimes they really didn't like each other. For instance, Haydn sometimes, he praised the work of Beethoven, and he gave it the highest honors, but in other works, he said, like such as the piece we're going to hear next, Eroica, he said, no, this is a terrible piece. He didn't like it. He was confused by it.
That can probably be attributed to the fact that Beethoven used a different kind of style than what Haydn was used to.
Beethoven was such a virtuoso. He was amazing at the piano and at composing, and Haydn may have felt a bit, jealous of Beethoven, and so maybe that was why he took out so much anger on him. But
yeah. So our next piece is Beethoven's Eroica.
Yes.
And that is his kind of his trademarked piece where he kind of changes the style of...
This piece really revolutionized music, and I know I've said that a lot, but it's really important, and so we'll discuss this after we play it.
Thank you.
was Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, number 3 in E-flat major.
Yes, it was, and this piece was very interesting. It was a one of its kind when it was created by Beethoven, and this was meant to honor Napoleon, who had been fighting for France. And Napoleon allegedly, I mean, Beethoven allegedly ripped
it up. Yeah,
he ripped up this symphony.
In symbolism against Napoleon.
Against
right?
Napoleon when he declares himself emperor. Because
Beethoven did not like that move, obviously.
He thought that Napoleon was going to be doing it for the good of the people, but he was really just seemed to be doing it for himself.
So this symphony was shredded, but luckily there was another copy.
Yes, luckily.
Still have it.
And,
But segueing into our next piece, which is another Haydn piece.
Yeah, and before we do that, let's just, this piece, it was, when it was first introduced onto the, in Austria, it was really, it made a name for himself almost immediately because it was groundbreaking how much emotions and how strong he expressed them, the wide range of keys that he used to do this. And no one had ever heard anything like this. They had heard the simple, reserved music of Haydn at some points before this and of Mozart.
And Handel, you must not
forget. Handel, yes, definitely. And so this was very, Beethoven really made a name for himself from this piece. And it was just a great changer for all of music to come.
This is a Haydn piece, right?
That was the Beethoven.
This was the Beethoven. Now we're going to Haydn.
Yeah, now we're going to Haydn. And so Haydn, this piece that we're going to talk about, it is 104th symphony, so still chugging, making more and more symphonies. I mean,
symphony machine.
Yes. So we're going to be playing the first movement of his 104th symphony. And this piece was written a few years after Haydn worked with Beethoven. And it shows more emotion than Haydn is used to. And it's interesting because it seems that Beethoven almost influenced Haydn in a way. Mentor influencing student, and here, student influencing mentor. And so it'll be interesting to hear.
And before we start this piece...
Yep.
This will be our final piece of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
The hour just flew by.
I know.
And I want to thank Rafi for coming in as a guest.
Yeah,
it was
definitely.
A really
thank
fun
you.
Show.
Yeah, it was.
And don't forget to tune into Music of Recent Centuries, third Sunday of every month.
Yep.
April 21st, I believe, is the next one. And I think that show may be a little different than what you've heard so far. mainly because it may be a different... genre of music, but if you want to find out about it, you're going to have to listen to it in April.
Yep.
So make sure to tune in to Music of Recent Centuries, the third Sunday of each month, and without further ado, we will close with Haydn's Symphony No. 9.
Or 104.
I mean, why did I say number 9?
I don't know.
104. Okay, whatever.
Anyway, ready? Here goes.